That sounds great. I went for coffee and he said, it's my 30th anniversary. So I was thinking, oh, he's gonna have a party, he's gonna invite me. Said, no, I'm going away and I want you to speak. Say, how many people did you try? He said, two people, you're the third one. I said, okay, no problem, so I will try. So before I speak, and then he said, you need to talk about parents. I said, well, that's a difficult topic. Say, well, it's Father's Day, you see some love, you've been like parents for those children, so why don't you talk about Colombia? I said, not again. People don't want to hear it again. Yeah, they do. I said, no, okay, I will try. But before I do that, I want you to see how different is our culture. And I don't mean to say it's better, it's worse, it's different. So this is how we do parenting in Colombia. So
why are Hispanic children so well behaved? The secret is the Hispanic culture, which emphasizes boundaries, developmental growth, and a traditional technique known as la chancla. For centuries, the secret of la chancla has helped millions of Latina moms focus attention to each child's unique needs, instill values of fairness and fair play, encourage healthy eating habits, learn the discipline required to excel in academics, moral reasoning, La Chancla can help every parent master a truly hands-off parenting style.
It means the sandal. So that was my mom, believe me. My mom was so good. She had such a great aim. But that's the way it was. Again, I don't mean it's better, it's just different, right? So when we talk about the Bible, do we believe, or we always go and say, this is the good news, right? Do you believe that there are bad news here? That there are bad news here. And what does it mean? There's bad news for the world, right? But there's also good news here, and it means there's good news for the world. So I will get, because there's a lot of reading today, I will get, Juliana will be helping me, so I want to make sure that you understand when we read about the Bible. So today I want to talk about a father who wasn't a great father, and I want to talk about our real father in heaven. So I want to talk about Samuel.
Okay, so I'm reading from an awkward angle. But now the sons of Eli were scoundrels who had no respect for the Lord or for their duties as priests. Whenever anyone offered a sacrifice, Eli's sons would send over a servant with a three-punch fork while the meat of the sacrificed animal was still boiling. The servants would stick a fork into the pot and demand that whatever it brought up would be given to Eli's sons. All the Israelites who came to worship at Shiloh were treated this way. Sometimes the servants would come even before the animal's fat had been burned on the altar. He would demand raw meat before it had been boiled so it could be used for roasting. The men offering the sacrifice might reply, "You may take as you want, but the fat must be burned off first." Then the servants would demand, "No, give it to me now or I'll take it by force." So the sins of these young men were very serious in the Lord's sight, for they treated the Lord's offering with contempt.
So what we can see here is that Eli's sons, they were priests. Eli was a high priest, so they were priests, but they didn't know the Lord. They were serving the Lord, but they didn't know for what they were doing. Even they abused the law by keeping part of the food that was allocated to the Lord. Before, there was some food for the Lord, some for the Levites, and some for the person, but they were taking it all. They wanted to take it all. And even they were the first ones to introduce a sacred prostitution to God's tabernacle, because they were having sex with women before the altar. Like they were, the women who were serving at the door, they were abusing and having sex with them. But we are not here today to talk about the sons. We are here to talk about the father. So where was the father when this was happening?
Now, Eli was very old, but he was aware of what his sons were doing to the people of Israel. He knew, for instance, that his sons were seducing the young women who assisted at the entrance of the tabernacle. Eli said to them, "I have been hearing reports from all the people about the wicked things you are doing. Why do you keep sinning? You must stop, my sons. The reports I hear among the Lord's people are not good. If someone sins against another person, God can mediate for the guilty party. But if someone sins against the Lord, who can intercede?" But Eli's sons wouldn't listen to their father, for the Lord was already planning to put them to death. One day, a man of God came to Eli and gave him the message from the Lord. "Didn't I reveal myself to your ancestors when they were slaves in Egypt? I chose your ancestor Aaron from among all the tribes of Israel to be my priest. I offer sacrifices on my altar to burn incense and wear the priestly garments as he served me. And I assigned the sacrificial offerings to your priests. So why do you scorn my sacrifices and offerings? Why do you honor your sons more than me? For you and they have become fat from the best offerings of my people. Therefore, the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the terrible things you are doing cannot continue. I have promised that you, your branch of the tribe of Levi, would always be my priest. But I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who despise me. I will put an end to your family, so it will no longer serve as my priest. All the members of your family will die before their time. None will live to ripe old age."
What a terrible curse it was going to come to Eli's family. So what do we know about him? Eli was a judge over Israel for about 40 years. And I will say, but what we read here, that he was an Old Testament man with some of the common problems that we have today. He was recognized, and he was in public, he was recognized and respected, but he didn't go to his house. The person that he was recognized when he was in public, he was not the same as he was dealing with his children. We could say that he was a good priest, but he had some poor parenting skills. Then he lacked two very important qualities that we need for effective parenting. We need firm resolve, and we also need to take the corrective action, but he wasn't doing that. And this curse was very bad because God promised to him, "I'm going to destroy all your family." So as we know, Aaron had 4 children. 2 of them died before they become priests. And the other 2, I will try to say their names, Eleazar and Ithamar. How do you say that? Ithamar? I don't know. So Eli was a descendant from Ithamar genealogy. And as we read further, King Saul killed all the descendants in that line. That's when the promise that God had, the curse that had put over Eli's family came true. 85 priests were killed, and the whole family were killed on that line. And then through Eleazar, that's where the genealogy continued. So as we see here, Eli responded to situations more than solving them. He was only taking action, but even his response was very weak. Because God warned him. God said, this is what your children are doing. But what did he do about that? And he knew it was a sin because he came to them and said, "What you're doing is really bad. You must stop it." But that's all he did. So he gave the order, but he didn't take action for it to happen. So as we see here, there's a big contrast between the way that God was going to deal with Eli's family and the way that Eli was dealing with his family. God gave warning to him. He spelled out the consequences, and he was clear, and he took action. But Elijah didn't do that. And as we read there, Elijah was giving honor to his sons above God. And maybe there are some reasons for that. He knew, because he studied the law, he knew the law, and he knew the consequences for the priests who were not following God's commands. As we read on Numbers, let me find the passage, on Numbers 15, it says, 15:30 to 31. So before that, he's talking about all that he was going to do with the priest. He said, when you follow me, this is what's going to happen. But in verse 30, he says, but those who willingly abuse the Lord's will or blaspheme against the Lord, they must be cut off from the community. God, in some words, was saying, if the priest doesn't follow up, he needs to be put to death. And he knew that could happen to his children. That's why he didn't do it. He was afraid. So why was it a curse for the Levites? As we know, when the Israel people came to Canaan, there was no land for them. God, it says in Numbers 18, the Lord said to Aaron, you priests will not receive inheritance or land, or share of property among the people of Israel. I am your inheritance and your share. And as for the tribe of Levi, your relatives, I will pay them for their service in the tabernacle with the tithes from the entire land of Israel. So he was going to bring that over the priesthood in that line. No more for you. And that was the only thing that they were going to get. And somebody might say, okay, but they were okay doing it because they were priests. They were getting what God had allocated to them. But what the two sons did was they abused the power that they had. They took advantage of their position to satisfy their lust for power. They wanted to have control over everything, and they were abusing the women, as we mentioned that before. Their arrogance was doing a big damage to the priesthood. And whose responsibility was that? His father, because he was the high priest. And he had to take correction action, but he didn't. So we read in Samuel 4 that the Israelites went to war with the Palestinians. And then the first day, 4,000 men were killed. So what did they do? Oh, we need the Ark of the Covenant. That will save us. And who took the Ark of the Covenant? His two children. But as you remember, the Ark of the Covenant, it was in the place that is called the most holy place. And who could go there? Only the high priest. And they were not the high priest. They were only priests. So they knew they couldn't go inside there. But because they were disobedient, they didn't care. Sin had become a lifestyle for them. So they got into the most high place and they took the Ark of the Covenant, believing that now that we have the Ark of the Covenant, it will be fine. We will be protected because God is with us. Do you believe God is with you just because you hold the Bible in your hands? That's religion. If we don't pay attention, this could become just an object of religion. But when we open and we use it, and we are obedient to this, it becomes the Word of God, and it becomes relationship. Religion, relationship. What is the Lord looking for us, or looking to have with us? Relationship. He wants us to read it. I know this is His Word, and I hope I'm not offending anybody when I say, this is just a book. This is a book, but it's also the Word of God when you open it. I come from Catholic house. In my house, it was a Bible maybe three times this size, always open in a little shelf, open in Psalm 23. Did I ever even read it? Never. Did we read it at all? No, we didn't. When I talk to my family, I say, have you read it? Nobody's open on Psalm 23, right? That's religion. Relationship. That's what he's looking to have with us. So when they took the Ark of the Covenant, again, they couldn't take it because they were no high priest. And what happened to them? That day, and you can read it later, in 1 Samuel 4, 30,000 men died from Israel. They all went to war believing we are good because we have the Ark of the Covenant with us. The same day, his two sons died. And as he mentioned here, you're becoming fat because you're eating what is not yours. And literally, they were getting fat. They were getting big, just eating and eating. So when they brought the news to Eli that his sons were dead, he fell down and he died. He broke his neck. So now God is ready to bring the curse to him, the way he had mentioned. So let's read where he said, this is what's happening now. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons would never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened his doors to the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks best.
See a difference there between the way he dealt with Samuel. He raised Samuel, but see the way he talks to Samuel. It's not the same way that he talks to his children, right? So he raised him. As we know, I'm backing up a little bit. Hannah promised the Lord that she was going to give this boy because she couldn't have children. So the Lord gave Samuel, and then she gave it to him. So Samuel was living with Eli, and Eli was the one raising him. But this is the first time that God spoke to Samuel. And doesn't it surprise to you that he's talking to a little kid, like a child, instead of talking to his master, instead of talking to somebody who has more experience, instead of talking to the high priest? He sent the message to the high priest through his student. And I think it's important to remember that Eli was older, he had more experience, and he held the proper position. But is that God's chain of command? No. It's not. He looks the heart of the man. And he knew that Samuel had his heart for him, but Eli didn't anymore. In finding faithful followers, God may use unexpected channels. Be prepared for the Lord to work at any place, at any time, and through anyone he chooses. So don't be surprised maybe when the Lord talks to you through somebody with a broken accent. Might be me, might not. But don't be surprised he can use anybody to talk to you. He can use your parents or he can use your neighbor. Because God is behind the heart. Not because we are Christians, we think we know it all. It's being humble. It's recognizing him as our Lord and Savior. I want you to see the city where he was the high priest. That's the remains of, how you say that, Shiloh? Shiloh? Okay, Shiloh. There you go. So it was the holy city before Jerusalem, before the first temple was built in Jerusalem. And archaeological findings show that it was destroyed in year about 1050 before Christ, very close to the time when Eli was dead. Okay, so bad news in the Bible. What's the result? Bad news in the world. Today we see the same problem, poor parenting. And what do we find? My children in Colombia. Yeah, they are the result of bad parenting. We see the consequences today. We have about 160 million orphans in the world. Why? Because somebody didn't do his job as a father. Because somebody is running away from his responsibility. These children are receiving what they should not. They are abused. They are exploited. They are sold in slavery. They are starving in many places. And they don't receive what they should. What should a child receive? Love, care, education, attention, consideration. That's what's happening. But we said that there were also good news here, right? So it's not over yet. There's good news coming because the Lord knew that we needed, we couldn't do it on our own. There's good news in the world. Lena, go ahead with the next one. Pay attention to that, please. Just look at the video and enjoy.
No es como yo, aunque se haya hecho hombre y le llame por su nombre. No es como yo, no es como yo, aunque en todo fue tentado, él es limpio y sin pecado. No es como yo. La pureza y santidad.
Keep on watching. Go ahead.
Como yo, aunque se haya hecho carne y mi hermano él se llame, no es como yo, no es como yo, en el cielo está su trono, su poder lo llena todo. Como yo, la creación toda rodilla doblará a sus pies. No es como yo, él es santo y es perfecto, es sublime y es eterno. Como yo, él trasciende lo que existe y de majestad se viste. No hay comparación.
Thank you. The Father came looking for his children. The All Almighty couldn't stand heaven without us. The God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the All Almighty, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, Emmanuel, the one who frees us from the sin of the world, our fortress, the one who calls us friends, the one who restores us, the one who loves us first, the one who says, come to me, you who are tired and weary, that I will give you rest. The truth, the way, the life. The one who came to offer us eternal life, but life in abundance. Our provider, the Prince of Peace, our helper, our shield, our advisor, our counselor. Our true Father had a plan. A plan of redemption, a plan for salvation. He came to offer grace to us, the faithful one, the omnipresent, the unchanging, the maker of heaven and earth. He had a plan for us. So the fatherless are not fatherless anymore. We know that we have a Father who cares for us. So the children in Colombia, that's what we are getting now. How do we get there? Because our Father in heaven is the one providing for them. He's taking good care of them. How can you go from here, look at here, to here? Fatherless with Father, with a true Father. Same person, different Father. The only one, the great I am, that's our Father. I have here a poem. I'm not very good reading even poems, but it was written by Andrew Gillis, I think is his last name, about fatherhood. And it's a challenge for me. And I hope in some degree it becomes a challenge for all of us. You can read there. Last night, my little boy confessed to me, some child is wrong. And kneeling on my knee, he prayed with tears. Dear God, make me a man like Daddy, wise and strong. I know you can. Then while he slept, I knelt beside his bed, confessed my sins and prayed with low bowed head. Oh God, make me a child, like my child here, pure, guileless, trusting you with faith sincere. I remember my son telling me that I want to be like you. And I prayed, Lord, I want to be like you. Because my son wants to be like me. Thank you.